Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need.
Wonderful. Thank you, Brother Ingram. Enjoyed that song, and thank God he looked beyond our faults and saw the greatest need that we had, and that was salvation. We needed a Savior, and boy, what a Savior. That's not only willing to forgive all sins past and all sins present, but was willing to forgive all sins future, because all of our sins were in the future when Jesus died. And yet he saw you and he saw me, and yet he was still willing to die. You know, boy, we get ourselves in a pickle sometimes, don't we? We make some choices and get ourselves in a situation. But may I say to you that God already knew that sin was coming and still was willing to purchase your debt to cover that sin. That's the reason I love in the scripture where it talks about that his blood cleanseth. It's a perpetual cleansing. It's a continual cleansing. Thank God. And what a Savior. Take your Bible, if you would, with me tonight. Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter number 17. A lot of things have happened up to this point. You know, the most mentioned story in all the Bible is the deliverance of Israel from Egyptian bondage. It's the most mentioned, talked about story in the whole Bible. Reference after reference after reference. Well, by this time, Israel has been out of Egypt for some time now. And as you know, they were hungering at some point, and of course they murmured, and, you know, we're starving to death. Then they got thirsty, and oh, we need water. So God gave them water out of a rock, poured down manna from heaven, gave them quail. Glory to God. Said, I don't like quail. You'd like it if you was hungry enough. But you know, amazing what God did for the people of God. They saw him do some incredible things. Oh, by the way, have you seen God do something incredible in your life lately? Have you seen him do something miraculous in your life? You see, these folks had seen God do some miraculous things. You know, hey, just Just a little hem of the garment. I mean, you know, he just split a Red Sea. Just a little thing. Made water come from a rock, manna from heaven. God provided for them over and over again. Well, as you know, they're heading toward the promised land eventually. And they had a few foes that they had to confront along the way. One of those foes were the Amalekites. And I want to pick up in verse number 8, if you'll stand with me, Exodus chapter 17 and verse number 8. Once we start reading in the story, it'll become quite familiar to you and you'll recognize it. But Exodus 17, begin with me in verse number 8. The Bible says, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." By the way, that's important because Moses used that rod quite often as an instrument to reveal and to show the power of God. He said, "I'm going to go up on the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand, I wonder what was in his hand. Probably that rod, right? He said when he held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek. I kind of like that word. We don't use that word much anymore. But he put a whooping on them. All right? He discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and called the name of it, and here's what I want to preach to you about, Jehovah Nissi, or Nissi, which means the Lord is my banner. You know, they could say that because they'd seen God do some incredible things. For he said, "Because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." And I want you to go back to verse number 15, and I want you to look at the word Jehovah Nissi. Several weeks ago on a Sunday morning, maybe it was several months ago, I preached on, if you'll remember, in Genesis chapter 22, when Abraham offered Isaac. And remember, God spared his son, and he called that place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. And he did provide. And here, Moses is saying, you know what, people? God has done some incredible things. He's given us water out of a rock. He's fed us manna, and now we've got an enemy that's going to come up against us. Do you think he's going to let us down? No, Jehovah Nissi, he's our banner. And that's what I want to talk to you about for a moment tonight. Father, would you bless us now, teach us something, we pray. And Holy Spirit of God, have your way tonight in this service. And we ask that you'd bless each person, our spirit would be open to receive your word. And then, Lord, when we leave this place, may our hearts be stirred to serve you better. In Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. Well, we found from Scripture here that this name was given to an altar that was built by Moses immediately following Israel's victory over one of its greatest foes, the Amalekites, or Amalek. Now, if you'll remember that Amalek was the grandson of Esau. Now, Esau wasn't your most upstanding individual. But he was the grandson of Esau, and his people were a constant thorn in Israel's side. they would constantly come up to fight against Israel. Well, God had relayed a message after this victory over Amalek to Moses that one day God said he would put out of remembrance Amalek. In other words, he said, you'll never have to worry about these people ever again, because one day I'm going to eliminate them. There will be no seed left. And by the way, that did come to pass. You see, this announcement and promise is what led Moses to build an altar to call it Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is our banner. Well, a banner is an ensign. It's a flag. It's an identity mark. You see, our American flag, and you can see this here, but I brought one here. You know, as I look at our American flag, you know what that is? That's a banner. That's a banner to us. And our American flag is a banner. Those stars and stripes that are on this flag, they mean something. They mean something. You see, those 50 stars, by the way, you high school students do know that our flag hadn't always had 50 stars. Okay, but it does now. Those 50 stars represent 50 United States. Not 50 fragmented states. 50 United States. That red, white, and blue has numerous sentimental meanings to every American. Those of you in here that have lost loved ones in war, that red might remind you of the blood that has been shed so that our country can have freedom today. You see, when you look at, I don't know if when you look at the flag, if it does to you what it does to me, but I love that banner. That banner means something to me. And when I see that, I respect that banner. And you know what? Every red-blooded American ought to respect it. And I don't have much respect for somebody that don't respect the banner that is representative of our country. Men and women have died all over the world for years and years so that we can have the freedoms. When I look at that flag right there, let me tell you something, that represents freedom, my friend. It doesn't matter whether it's flying in New York City, Dallas, Texas, or Baghdad, Iraq. When they see that emblem, when they see that banner, it immediately reminds them of freedom. That's what it reminds them of. Why? It's a banner. It's an ensign. It's a flag. It's an identity mark. You see, our American flag represents a host of things to those who love it, those who honor it. But may I say to you tonight, church, that there are some who know not its history and know not its meaning. Our flag means nothing to them. Our banner means nothing to them. Do you believe that there are parts of the world that when they see our banner, to them it doesn't resemble freedom? Many times it resembles hate to them. It resembles bullying to them. It reminds them of oppression. But may I say to you, when I see that flag, I see the banner that represents not only freedom, but it represents the greatest country on earth. That's what it represents. Why? It's a banner. It's an ensign. Now, let me say a few things about a banner real quick. First of all, number one, a banner has to be produced. Now, let's take a look back up here. That which is ministering to the multitudes of compassion of Christ, Matthew 9, 36. Would everybody agree with me that's a banner? Okay, that banner had to be produced. It didn't produce itself. Someone had to make that banner. Someone had to invest. It had to have a source. Banners just don't exist without effort from someone to produce the banner. Now, think about this just for a second. When Moses made that altar and he called that altar Jehovah, God is our banner. The Lord is our banner. What he's saying is the Lord has produced for us. The Lord has provided for us. You see, a banner has to be produced. Someone had to make this flag. Someone had to make that banner. May I say to you, number two, about a banner. Number two, it's public for everyone to see. You don't make a banner and hide it under your bed. Right? You don't invest in something and then go hide it.
so nobody can see it. The reason we had that banner made, we want it to be open and public. You see, it had to be produced. But a banner, it's public for everyone to see. When the Super Bowl was in our area, there were banners everywhere. If you drove around the stadium, anybody else see all those banners? People were had banners out there. You know what? They're trying to do this and do that. Why? They're trying to get your attention. They didn't make that banner. The boss didn't say, hey, listen, I want you to go get this banner made. Well, boss, it's going to cost $500. That's okay. I want you to make it. Go get that banner made, and then I want you to go throw it in the dumpster. No. That banner has a purpose. It had to be produced, and that banner was public for everyone to see. May I say number three about a banner? It has a message to it. You know what the message of that banner is? Minister to the multitudes. You know what the message of this banner is? Freedom. Greatest country on earth. When you see that, it's a banner to you and it tells you something. It signifies something. It had to be produced. It's public for everyone to see. And it has a message. May I say to you that a banner has an important message? Even if it says three hot dogs for a dollar. See, it may not be that important to you, but do you know the person that put it out, it's very important to them? Because they're trying to sell hot dogs, right? You see, the banner has a message. It's an important message. May I say, it's a consistent message. See, when I drive by that hot dog stand, it's three hot dogs for a dollar. And I drive by tomorrow, and the banner says the exact same thing. Three hot dogs for a dollar. It's consistent. They don't go buy a banner for every day of the week. They have one banner with a message that they're trying to get out. Three hot dogs for $1. That's the message. You know what we're trying to get out? Minister to the multitudes. That's the message. That's the reason it stays up. That's the reason there's one there so you can see it when you come in that door. That's the reason there's one there so that you can see it when you come in that door. And there's one right there so you can see it from any place in the auditorium. Why? It's got a message. And it's public for everyone to see. Now, I will say this. Not everyone will respond to the message. You know what? I'm not a hot dog person. So three hot dogs for a dollar, it wouldn't matter if they were given eight hot dogs free. I'm not going to respond to the message. Why? It doesn't appeal to me. Hot dogs don't appeal to me. So not everybody's going to respond to the message. Nor is everybody going to agree with the message. Because you're going to have Mr. So-and-so who's down here and he sells hot dogs too. And he's going to come by and he's going to see the sign, three hot dogs for a dollar. And he's going to think, you know what, he's giving them away. He can't be making any money. So he's not going to agree with the sign. He's just trying to get people over there so he can kind of upsell when he gets over there. See, not everybody is going to respond. Not everybody's going to agree. And may I say, not everybody's going to appreciate the message. They're just not going to appreciate it. That's the reason we've got ministering to the multitudes out on our side. You know what? Some people aren't going to appreciate it. Now, I don't know why they wouldn't appreciate it, but some people aren't. Now, what I'm saying to you is this. A banner has to be produced. It has to be made. Number two, it's public for everyone to see. And number three, it has a message to it. It's an important message. It's a consistent message. Just like this is a banner, but may I say to you also, this is a banner. Different message though, right? Okay? Daniel, come up here just a moment. This is a message. We understand the message of that flag, right? This is a message. It says, are you following Jesus this close? That's a bumper sticker. Okay? So this has a message to it. This has a message to it. And listen, watch me now. That's a banner right there too. That's got a message to it. You see, when Moses built the altar and he said, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is our banner. What he was saying to the people was not that the Lord's the banner. Though he showed himself as a banner, he's saying the Lord is our banner because he lives in us. And if he's the banner and the banner lives in us, guess what that makes you? A banner. Just like this flag has a message, this bumper sticker has a message, he's got a message. And everybody's reading that message, just like they're reading your message. You're a banner. Thank you, Daniel. Now, y'all want to make a spiritual application to all this? Here's number one. Every believer is a produced banner. Take your Bible. Here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You see, before you were saved, you were no banner for God. You might have been a banner for the devil, but you certainly wasn't one for God. Here's how God made and produced the banner that you are. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Somebody had to produce you. God had to save you, and when He saved you, He made you a banner. You are now a testimony for God or not for God. You're either doing your best or not doing your best. You see, if the Lord is my banner and He lives inside me because of salvation, then that makes me a banner for Him. You see, the thing about it is, I've got a message. My life is a message. And somebody had to produce me. The Lord did when He saved me. May I say to you, number two, every believer's life is public for everyone to see. Okay, are you still there in 2 Corinthians 5? Look down in verse 20. Okay, look at 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 20. I want you to look at this. Paul says, now then, we are. He didn't say we were or we will be. He said, we are right now what? What is an ambassador? Is an ambassador kind of like a banner for the United States? Yeah, he's a representative. And so you know what? He's representing this flag. Am I right? He's sending a message to other countries about what we are. Now the thing about it is, if you had an ambassador that was misrepresenting your country, you'd be up in arms, wouldn't you? Get him out of there! He's not representing our country correctly. Are we representing the Lord correctly? Are we representing the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, every believer's life is public for everyone to see. Remember Jesus in His Sermon on the Mount? Remember in Matthew chapter 5, He says that so let your light or life shine that, listen, that if your light is shining like a light, we're not to put it under a bushel. He said a city that sits on a hill cannot be hid. Why? We're supposed to be open. Your life is that. Your life's a banner. What is it telling people? No matter where you go, you cannot hide from people. Your banner is public, and you were produced to be that banner for Jesus Christ. You see, God showed Himself mighty many times to Israel. And every believer is a produced banner. Every believer's life is public for everyone to see. And then may I say to you, every believer has a message. Go to Acts chapter 4 and verse 20. Go to Acts 4 and verse 20. Acts 4:20. All right, in Acts chapter 4, verse 20. Remember I spoke out of this just a short time ago about Peter and John? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. They healed that man, that lame man at the gate, beautiful. Well, they got some people upset. But when they were confronted about what they were doing, look in verse 20. Peter and John said, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You see, every believer has a message. And your banner is on display for everyone to see. You see, just like these banners are on display for everyone to see, flags are flying everywhere for people to see, bumper stickers are everywhere and on everything for people to see. Why? They've got a message. They were produced. They're public. They do have a message. And so does your life. And so does my life. You see, I'm just asking you, church, what message are we sending about Jesus? What message are we sending about the people of God? What message are we sending about His church? Take your Bible, if you would, once again. Turn back a few chapters. If you're still there in 2 Corinthians 5, and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Are you there in 2 Corinthians 3? Look at verse 2. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us. Listen now. Written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Paul was literally telling them, listen, your life is like an epistle. People do read it. People do know whether or not you're serving God, living for God, or loving the Lord like we need to be. Now, how can Jehovah Nissi mean something to you? Okay, I'm going to give you these real quick. I've only got four of them, and I'll be done in just a few minutes. First of all, go back to Exodus 17, and let me show you something, why Moses built an altar, and he said, the Lord is our banner. The Lord has shown himself great. He's not only the banner over my life, but He has made me a banner for Him. First of all, let me say, how can Jehovah Nissi mean something to you? First of all, number one, as this. God will protect His people. He will protect His people. Folks, that's the reason that we're to love Israel. And that we're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I wonder how many of us have that on our prayer list. I wonder how many of us pray for the people of God. And I don't mean just Christians. I'm talking about God's people, Israel. I wonder how many of us are praying and said, Lord, please don't let another car bomb go off there. Listen, they had a car bomb in Jerusalem for the first time in 4 years. I wonder if it may be that some of the people of God here stopped praying for them. You see, all I'm saying to you tonight, church, is God will protect His people. Here comes Amalek up against Israel. Moses just simply tells Joshua, get some men, go out and fight against them. I'll stand on the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Joshua didn't even blink. He went out, and the Bible says he discomfited them. He gave a good whipping on them. Why? Because, listen, it wasn't that necessarily that Israel's army was superior. But they did have God on their side. And you and God make a majority. And so when Amalek came up against them, God protected him. You see, believers will always be in a fight against the enemies of God. Now, I wish I could tell you tonight, if you're new and you're a new believer, I wish I could tell you tonight that when you get saved, it's all a bed of roses. But may I say to you, it's not a bed of roses. And what happens is when you got saved, you got pulled out of the family of the devil and birthed into the family of God. And what happened is a soul winner or a sermon or something convicted you and brought you out of the family of the devil into the family of God. He lost one of his own. He's not very happy. And so many times, church believers will always, and we've got to understand, will always be in a fight against the enemies of God. Now, think about this. Since they can't get God, Amalek, listen, they were God haters. And since they couldn't get God, what's the next best thing? You get His kids, right? You see, that's the reason that people today, many times if they can't get the parents, they get the kids. And may I say to your parents tonight, if Satan can't get you, he'll get the kids. So you better beware. Because all he needs is just a very small opening to get in. You will always fight against the enemies of God. But may I say to you tonight, the Lord is your banner. Hey, all you've got to do is look and see what God has already done. And if we serve the same God of yesterday, today, and forever, if He delivered Israel from Amalek, you think He just might deliver you from your enemy? Absolutely, He will. Number two, not only will God protect His people, number two, when the Lord is lifted up, we prosper. Did you notice when Moses was on the hill, he stood on top of the hill? Now listen, I don't think he was necessarily lifting his hands up like this, because the Scripture initially said he lifted his hand. And I think when he's gotten up on the hill, you know, you hold something up for a while, it starts getting a little bit tight there. So I think probably he just reached down there and grabbed that rod and was holding up that rod like this. And when he held the rod up, the rod that God had used many, many times to prove himself mighty, and Moses lifted up that emblem, that ensign, and can I say to him, he was lifting the Lord up, and when the Lord was lifted up, the people of God prospered. When the Lord was not lifted up, the enemy prospered. I wonder if that should tell us something today. That if us, as we as a church at Trinity Baptist, if not only us as individuals, but as a church as a whole, I wonder if we magnified the Lord, I wonder if we'd prosper. I wonder if we lift Him up individually in our life, if we'd prosper. I wonder if we magnified the Lord in our personal life. I wonder if we magnified the Lord in our financial life. I wonder if we magnified the Lord in every area of our life. I wonder if we might prosper. You see, the people of God prospered. And when we lift the Lord up, we will prosper at home. We will prosper in business. And we'll prosper at church. You know, you may not think a whole lot about Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A's been around a long time. It was around when I was a kid. That's just, 12, 15 years ago we were kids. And... But Chick-fil-A's been around a long time. Now, the owner of Chick-fil-A is not a Baptist, but he's got something right. He honors the Lord on Sunday and shuts her down. It's the Lord's Day. And you know what? I don't see many of them closing down, but I sure see a lot of them opening up. You see, all I'm just saying to you is, he figured out the Lord's my banner, Jehovah Nissi. And if I honor Him and lift Him up, guess what? The Scripture says I'll prosper. If I'll give God what's His, what He desires. And when we lift the Lord up, we prosper. Number three. Another way that Jehovah Nissi means something to us is by supporting the decision of leadership. Now I want you to notice when Moses began to get a little fatigue. You know what happens, I don't know about you, but when you get tired, sometimes, you know, your decisions aren't quite as secure as you'd like for them to be, because you get a little bit fatigued, and sometimes your mind gets a little bit hazy. And but, you know, Moses went to the top of the hill, and he says, guys, I got to hold this ensign up. I've got to hold this rod up. But when he began to get tired and his hands began to lower, and what happened was, Amalek then began to prevail. And so here are two associates, two good men. They said, we've noticed a common thread here. When the rod's up, the people of God prosper. When the rod's down, the enemy prospers. They thought, man, we're part of the people of God. Let's get them arms up. Now, the thing about it is, not only did they do that, but they said, here, Moses, and they rolled a stone so he could sit on it. So he didn't have to stand up. So he sat down on the stone, and they helped him hold the rod up. And the whole time he held the rod up, Israel prospered, until Joshua had won the battle. You see, one of the ways that the Lord can be our banner and we can show that we're of one heart, one soul, one mind, by supporting the decisions of leadership. You know, sometimes we may not always understand why leadership makes decisions that they make. For instance, you know, my dad wasn't saved for none of my growing up years at home. I led my dad to Christ several years after I left home, was married, and moved out here. But you know, some decisions my dad made I didn't necessarily understand. And as a teenager, I didn't necessarily agree. But you know what I found out in the long run? He's right. He's right. But isn't it amazing how that at the time it didn't seem right? It just didn't seem like it was the right thing to do. But I found out later down the road it was right. And that his decision was right. You know why? Because he'd been down the road a little bit further. He had been around the corner a few more times than I had. You see, what we can do as a church is support the decisions of leadership. Aaron and Hur held up Moses' hands. Let me give you one more quickly, and I'm done. And that's this. One of the ways Jehovah Nissi can mean something to you, living on the promises of God. You know why Moses built that altar? Because God said, Moses, there's going to come a day that Amalek I'm going to put out of remembrance. You'll never be bothered by them again. Folks, can I remind you that there's going to come a day where God is going to take Satan, that wicked one, that accuser, and cast him into a lake of fire away from you and I forever and ever and ever, and he will put him out of remembrance, out of your life forever. Now the thing about it is, you know what? We ought to get excited about that now, even though it hadn't happened, but it's going to happen. And God promised, he said, you know what, these Amalekites that's been bothering you all this time, he said, I'm going to put them out of remembrance one day, and you'll never remember these people again. They will be out totally of existence. And Moses said, glory to God, built an altar. He said, the Lord is our banner. Why? There's a message. That message is, they're going to be gone out of existence. Now, church, tonight, not only has God done some great things for Trinity Baptist Church, but he's done some great things in your life. You say, when, preacher, I haven't noticed them. Well, you need to look around a little bit closer. And if God hasn't done something great and mighty in your life lately, you need to get on your knees and say, Lord, I want you to do something great and mighty in my life. I want it to be so impactful in my life that it will change the way I think, it'll change the way I serve, it'll change the way I worship. Let me tell you something. You know what that victory did for Moses and Israel? It changed the way that they thought about some things. They said, the Lord's our banner. Why? There's a message. And I'm just saying to you, if he lives inside you, you're a message too. You're public for everyone to see. God made you. He created you in Christ Jesus. And you know what we're to do? We're to bring forth good works. We're his workmanship. I want you to think about and meditate on that as you leave tonight and pray about these things as you minister within your family tonight. Would you bow your heads for a moment? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many can say, preacher, no beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm saved. No question about it. Slip your hand up, say, that's me. That's me. No question about it. I've been born again. I've been born again. Wonderful. All right? You can put